You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
So you have these various jobs, right? Mm-hmm. And then you are gonna, you know, do stand-up. And then, and your father's dead. And your mother, you're living in the basement of your mother's house. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you pretty much, I think you got successful pretty quick. You got, like me, I was told I was funny early on. And I was told, you know, I was different, you know, I wasn't like everyone else, but also, but I feel like you had that sort of people telling you you're funny.
I got, somebody called it breadcrumbing, and I guess that's a good way to say it. Like, you get enough stuff every couple of years so you don't quit.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe if I didn't get anything for 10 years, I would have quit, but because I got, like, Last Comic Standing, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years in, and then Montreal. Right. And that's why my mom started again, because she saw me getting stuff. And she was like, oh, I could definitely.
But she helped you. She helped you with your first set, right? First time you went on stage.
She did help me with my first set, yeah. A little bit.
So you start getting stuff. You get Montreal. Then you win some award at the New York Comedy Festival.
Yeah, and then nothing happens for, like,
that. But that all, I know, that's what people don't realize. Like, you, it is the bread. It's true. It's so true.
I didn't even know the name
for it. But for some people, right, but for some people with wieners and balls, no, but they get that, then it becomes, it's just so not fair.
I just never took off. And I mean, I had the worst manager from Montreal. You probably know who it is. Do you know Wayne Rita?
Wayne, I heard of that name, yeah.
He used to book stand-up New York.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
He's like not a great person. I took him as my manager to Montreal. He stayed in my hotel room with me and my boyfriend. He fucked like a dude on my couch while I was sleeping. It was like my Montreal audition. My Montreal experience was the worst.
No.
He got into a fight.
Oh, I wish you had called me. Oh, fuck. You can always call me.
Oh, thanks. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, so after that, I didn't get anything for years and I left him. And then I got another manager. Just like, I don't know. I just got little things like breadcrumbing, but you never pop.
Right. I feel the same way about myself. Okay. So Margaret, your mother.
No, Debbie.
Debbie, who's Margaret Galligan?
That's hilarious. Somebody wrote an article and said, that's my best friend's mother. Wrote an article and said, that's my mother. That's hilarious. It's not.
See how many articles I read?
I said it to my friend. I know. And I was like, I wonder if you read that article. You did. Yeah. Oh. Margaret Galligan is my best friend's mother.
Oh, all right. So you start getting stuff and there's jealousy from your mother, right?
Yeah. She would ask me how I got stuff. And it would be,
you know, people don't realize that, you know, you go up to, there are those fucking asshole comics where you get something and instead of the comic going, great, that's great, they go, how'd you get that? You know?
But like my mother even was like, how'd you get that? And I was like, I don't know. I worked 8 years really hard for it. And I would get so mad at her because I'm like, you have the luxury of not even working. So you should be out every night doing 8 spots.
Right. Is she funny?
She is funny. She's different from me, but she is funny. She does also have like a dark sense of humor too, but not that much on stage. Like, like me and her, we do bond over shopping. Like, we love to shop.
Right.
And like, it is funny because like sometimes we'll think of something and she's like, I can't say that on stage. It's just too dark. Like, I remember we were somewhere and like, maybe I was getting like a shirt that was like a large or an extra large. And she was like, well, why don't you try this one? She's like, you know, sometimes the kids, they make them smaller. And she's like, that's something I can never say on stage, but it is funny. Right. Like the kids making your clothes, they don't all sew the same.
Yeah. So,
which is really funny.
You can say that. Why can't say that?
I can say whatever, but I'm saying she would think it doesn't fit her persona on stage.
That is so fucking funny. Did you not tell her things on purpose so she wouldn't be like, where'd you get that? How'd you get that?
She would find out.
Right.
She would find out, or I would tell her, or she'd see it on Facebook.
Right.
What she would do that would bother me is she would tell other people I was her daughter, and I think to try and like get stuff, and that really pissed me off.
Oh my.
The last show I did with her, we did my mom actually does a lot of urban shows, and I used to do them too. Cause like if you're funny, they'll laugh, they don't care. It's doesn't matter. Right. So my mom brings a bunch of her old white lady friends to this urban show that starts late, and they're all like tired. It's like supposed to start at 9. It starts at like 10 or 11. They start chanting during another comic set. They're like, we want Debbie. And I was like, this is the last show I will ever do with you.
I think
we might have done one other show after that.
That's so funny.
I was mortified.
I hate when people come to comedy clubs and act like fucking out. Like, I don't go to your fucking office and act like that, you fuck. So you then in 2000, is it 13 or you got Letterman? But
yeah,
you spent a year and a half.
Jesus Christ. How much practice? Like, what did you do to find all this stuff out?
I do my research.
Because it's not all in one place.
I know. I do a lot of things.
So crazy.
I think that people do not, like, I really want you to help explain this. You have, Letterman wants you. They're like, you're great for Letterman. And you are. You're perfect. You're New York. He doesn't like, you know, like me, like, hey, what the fuck, you know, like the loud, he likes very cerebral. You're just perfect. But for a year and a half.
There were three bookers. So this was the problem. I got stuck with the booker.
Which one?
Ryan, who was scared to take any risk.
Yeah.
Like I would ask him about a joke and he'd say, you can't do that. And then I'd ask him a month later and he'd be like, you could do that. I was like, how come you tell me? And he goes, it depends what we get in trouble for that week. So, I mean, I'm seeing other people get a Letterman audition and then getting it 3 months later. Right. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Why is this taking so long?
And then, did you tell anyone you had gotten Letterman? Cause I never tell anyone anything until I'm done with it. But
I think I probably told like a couple of close friends. Like I didn't brag about it.
You weren't like, you know, I hate those comics that are like, yeah, I'm doing this. And you're like, oh, shut the fuck up. All right. Yeah. So, okay.
No, maybe. So a couple you're of told. Friends,
okay. And so Ryan has to go around to the clubs with you, right?
So Ryan's not even how I got on.
Right.
There was a woman that worked.
Yeah.
Okay, he's the person I went through, but there was a woman that was also one of the bookers. She had a baby, and my friend was like, hey, you should just tell her congratulations. You know, she knows who you are because she has seen you.
Right.
I congratulated her, and she's like, hey, where are we with your set? Let's get you on the show. And then she got me a spot like 2 weeks later or something. It was very quick once it went through her. But that dude, if it was up to him, I would have never gotten on.
Well, she's a woman, and he's a fucking fraidy cat guy. Okay. What is he doing now? Is he very important? Okay.
I think he books another like late night show, maybe Colbert or something.
Oh, all right. So, okay. So you have the set put together and they know what it is. And do they keep saying no?
They moved my set around a bunch. I couldn't start out with the joke. They wouldn't let me do my opener and they wanted me to put my closer in the middle.
Right.
And then I was like, all right, I'll move my opening joke. Because the joke is about like eating baby carrots and how like,
oh yeah, the blind joke. I fucking love that
joke.
But
they wouldn't let me open with that because I said blind.
Okay. So can we tell let's just tell everyone the joke. It's so fucking funny. You're in an elevator.
I was in an elevator eating a bag of baby carrots, and this guy's like, those are really good for your eyes. And I was like, I know, I used to be blind. And then they wouldn't let me do that joke as the opener. I said blind. So I had to like move that around.
Oh, okay.
And then my closer was about seeing two female cops and like,
oh, this is like, the best.
They want to move that to the middle. Yeah, they wanted me to move that to the middle of the set because the original punchline was like, if I called 911 up and two women showed up, I'd just be like, I could just do this myself.
Right.
And I was like,
such
great.
A
now,
funny joke.
And I was like, now all three of us are going to get, I think I said choked or stabbed. And they were like, that's too violent to end. You could put it in the middle. I was like, well, what if I just change it to robbed? And they were like, okay. But like, I had a fight for every joke with that.
That's what people don't realize. Like, these sets are, you know, scrutinized, you know, rebooted. Like, it's ridiculous what they do to comics to do fucking 4 to 6 minutes on a late night show because they're afraid of the FCC and they're afraid of the host. It's fucking horrible.
Well, also, you're a comic. You know what joke is a closer.
Right.
So, but they're just like, hey, just close with another joke. And you're like, no, that's not actually how the set
right
works. Like, there's a, you know, a closer is the biggest joke. Or... So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I did that and nothing really happened after that either. I went like to work the next day.
You did anyone? All right. So you, first of all, you killed. Please go online and look at Adrian Appalucci's Letterman set. It's so fucking funny. And you killed. You fucking killed.
I had a good set.
And you get up the next morning. And it's just, that is the thing about stand-up. It's like, you can fucking work at, you know, Carnegie Hall. And then the next night, you're at some shitty club trying out new material and everyone hates your fucking guts. I like, it's just, it really, you, it's hard to have an ego as a stand-up comic.
Well, also what was funny about that is I did well. And then he asked me to come sit at the chair with him. And I right. thought that was like such a cool thing.
Right.
And then I talked to Eddie Brill that night and he like took it away from me. He's like, well, that was planned ahead of time. It had nothing to do with your performance. And I was
you know
like,
what?
And I was like, just let me have it. Well,
right.
Who cares?
Right.
Why would you even tell? And
like, it wasn't planned. And I can tell you right now, it wasn't planned. Okay?
I know. It's like, why couldn't you just let me have
it? Because he walked
up
to you after. He walked up to you.
But he couldn't even let me have that. And I was like, why? Just let me have it.
You know why. You know why.
It's so dumb, though.
Right.
And I was like, just let me have it. It's so dumb. Why are you taking that little bit of joy?
Right.
And I was just like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. And I wish.
And Howard Stern was on that night too. So the audience was riled up. Yeah.
Howard Stern was on, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I, in retrospect, like I could go back and have been like, hey man, why'd you have to tell me that? Or like,
I know.
That's not even true.
You could.
I'm not going to do it now.
I know.
There's no point.
Maybe I will.
don't tell him.
So, oh, I've called him out on a lot of shit, but I still love him. I've known him forever, but
love him too. He's always been very nice to me.
Yeah.
But it was just a weird thing where I was like, we're
don't
not
take,
competing.
Yeah. Hello. Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor and I love them and they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at
liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
You were also in a car accident.
Yes.
Is that your first bout of depression or?
My first bout of depression was right after my dad died. Like, right. I didn't realize how depressed I had gotten, but that was when it started. I think I took off a semester from school and I was just like in my basement by myself as like a depressed, sad person.
Right. And did anyone say, Adrian, you need to, you know, get some help?
I don't think so. Oh, everyone great. Is. So, I think everyone was. I mean, like, we did go to therapy on and off my whole life, but like it was about
family therapy.
We went to family therapy, which is awful. Like, we went to go see this guy, Dr. Jaffe. His office smelled like garlic. And we didn't talk about anything that was actually pertinent to feelings. We argued about who was going to clean the bathroom. Like, so it was nothing that was actually productive. But I have been in therapy since I was like a kid.
Right. And then when was this car accident?
When was the car accident? I think I got into two.
Oh, one, nice.
Well, they weren't even my fault. One was a drunk driver hit me. And the other one was I was driving to school and this woman was driving on the Bronx River. This one, I was going to Westchester and she lost control of her car and her car went like this and hit me oncoming. And I totaled my Jeep. And what was weird about that is I totaled my Jeep, the airbags went off. And like when I woke up, my dad's mask card was in my hand. It was such a weird thing.
Right.
Because he had just died pretty recently before that.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't think that made me as much depressed as like just my dad dying.
Yeah, it's fucking sucks. And, you know, I don't know. And when you're in your 20s, it sucks even more. But I mean, it sucks. Other kids have, lose whatever. Okay. So you go to work the next day after so you're back down to, level zero. Does anyone in the office say, I saw you on?
Well, this is the thing. My boss, so at this point I'm working as a paralegal.
Right.
And my boss, I got very close with my boss there and she actually came to the taping and she did buy me a Letterman hoodie and left it on my chair. I might have asked if I could have that next day off. And she was like, yes, but on Monday I saw it. They were very nice to me. Her and my male boss, he drove me nuts, but like,
were they Jewish? Great.
He was Jewish. She was Hungarian and Italian, I think. I don't know.
Okay. I just had to ring the bell. Okay.
Wait, what is the bell for? Anytime something's Jewish?
Yes. Anything that's Jewish.
Oh, it's a bell. I didn't know that. Well, Mr. Meltzer was Jewish.
Okay. So this is 2013, 2000. When do you quit your job?
2013, they closed and then I just stopped working and did a little bit of road stuff from Letterman, did a couple of festivals. And then I think I kind of just struggled for years. And then I would nanny on and off. I did that for a bit. Like last year when I did the Degenerates, it wasn't even that much money, but it was the most money I've ever made doing stand up.
Right.
And it wasn't even that much.
Right. Yeah. They used to pay way more, but did you feel more confident or respected by the other comics after did your Letterman? Yeah.
I guess I've always felt pretty respected by comics.
Yeah.
I feel like the industry doesn't respect me.
Oh, please. Fuck
or they don't like me I've always felt very respected by comics, but yeah, I don't feel like I'm not an industry darling. They don't love me.
Yeah. Well,
they don't like what I do.
I do. And you know what? Comic. It takes one person. One.
I know.
That's it. And I'm 58 years old. I'm still doing this shit. Okay. So
that's crazy because you look really young.
Oh, thanks.
And you had kids.
I had kids and I'm 58. My mother had really good skin, but and I'm immature. So there you go.
Okay. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
So you did Last Comic Standing. Now I know a lot of people that did Last Comic. I hate, and I know you do too. I read somewhere that you said you don't like the competition part of it, but you thought it would, I feel like you can't, it's a sense of humor. Yes, we know what's funny and what's, really fucking funny because we're comics, but I don't know. That kind of thing really pissed me off.
I did the Last Comic Standing twice. And the second time I did better the first time. And then the second time I did it, it was right around the same time, right after Letterman. So I did that same 5-minute set. And Roseanne was just like, that set's not that great. And I want to be like, I just did that on Letterman. But she was like, she was like, I think the ending was good, but the other jokes weren't that great. And I was like, all right.
All right. Well, take care. And here's a racist tweet for you to write and have a nice life. Okay. So you have a very hilarious presence on social media, which, okay. So I have a love-hate relationship with the social media because most of my career, there was no social media. Like, it was notebook, get on stage. You know, there was none of this. You're going to be a star because you got this many, you know, likes on something, or that something went viral. Your dating stuff.
Oh, those Tinder things. I've decided I'm going to turn them into a book. And I just got another account because I keep getting like blocked and suspended and shit. But I just started trolling people on dating sites.
Right. Please do a couple of your favorites. So you'll go on Tinder and you'll start a conversation.
I'll start a conversation, and the more desperate they are, the more fun it is. Like, I remember there are a couple that are like my favorite. One was this guy that it was like 4 or 5 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. It was like this redheaded fireman. And I could tell he thought like I was going to help him jerk off, which is great because they will go along with anything you say.
Right.
So I told him at one point I was a fireman, but I thought they were just going to let me cook. And, you know, I couldn't bring any of the stuff out. And he's like going along with all this stuff. And he's like, oh, I'm kind of in a naughty mood. I was like, speaking of naughty mood, have you watched the Michael Jackson documentary? And you could just see how, and I was like, would your brother gotten fucked by white Michael Jackson or black Michael Jackson? And then he would just like stop talking to me. But that moment, I ruined that for him and I loved it.
Right. And you then take a picture of it on your phone and put it on Instagram, and it's the fucking funniest thing. I mean,
It also is the most fun thing.
Right.
It makes me laugh.
Right.
Like, I'm doing it, and I'm like, I can't believe these people are this dumb.
Right. Well,
but dudes are very dumb.
Right. You got kicked off. Like, what happened?
So this is what will happen. I will, like, when I feel like I've pushed them too far that they're going to report me, I will just, like, screenshot everything and then delete them to try and not get kicked off.
Right.
But eventually people report you, so you just keep getting suspended. So now, I have to go to my friends that I feel like have good enough marriages where they're not going to need Tinder and be like, can I use your account and phone number and stuff?
That's hilarious.
So I just got a new account.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait for more. Any other good ones? They make me crack up so much.
I mean, there was one guy that said he liked the hat that I had on, and I told him how I was, I modeled hats on the side, but it's like a really backstabbing business, but it's okay if you don't get stabbed in the head. And I told him about how, like, a lot of people don't know this, but like I said, I had this roommate where she would do this thing where, like, the tinier your head is, like, the more beautiful you are. So she would do this thing where she would put herself in like Russian nesting dolls till her head was so small. And I said, and then she ends up dying, but she couldn't even enjoy it because her head was so tiny. And I mean, dudes will just like be like, that's crazy. And then still just keep talking to you.
The funniest part of it is that they think you're serious. And then, and it's so fucking ridiculous. And they're going along and you're like, you're a fucking stupid. That's why fucking Trump was president, for people, because of people like that.
Yeah. But those people are everywhere. Like, I put a joke. I mean, I hate social media because I don't think people really understand comics on there. Like I said, I miss Trump, and somebody, and I was like clearly joking, and this lady was like, this is a hard unfollow. And I was like, well, you follow Ari, and he donated $500,000 to Trump Towers to keep him afloat during the pandemic. And instead of knowing that's a joke, they were like, I'm unfollowing him too. And you're like, oh, I hate all of this.
I know. I hate social media. I hate it. I hate it.
My worst days are the days I'm on there the longest.
Yeah.
My most depressing days and saddest days in pandemic are when I'm on there a long time.
It's also like, I definitely feel it mentally when I've been on my phone too long. I get anxiety and I'm like, get this fucking thing away from me. it's hard. It's really hard, especially when you're a comic and you're so used to like, okay, I'm going to get on stage. I'm going to get a reaction immediately. And now the only time we can get a reaction is like we write something funny on Twitter and we're waiting to see if people think it's funny. You know, it's like fucking mental.
Well, also, everyone just cares about what your Twitter following is and right. like how many followers you have on Instagram. So it's like you're programmed to like try and get all these followers right, so you can right. do the roads, you can make money. It's just like you're ingrained to try and get these followers every day. And it's, I don't know, I find it frustrating.
I hate it because, you know, I remember thinking, oh my God, I have to have a lot of followers after, you know, I've done this for over 30 years, 35 years. Now I have to get followers. And I'm thinking, and then I looked up like James Taylor and Carole King. And I'm like these fucking TikTok people have more followers than like these legends, you know? So I was like, fuck it. You know, half my audience doesn't fucking give a shit about social
media. I watched Letterman's Netflix show. He had Kim Kardashian on.
Yeah.
And she said to him that her two younger sisters, I think Kendall and Kylie, she's like, they have no idea who you are.
No. Fucking
yeah, that's
way.
What she said to him, and he was just kind of like laughed at it. But like, yeah, he's so famous, and they have no idea who he is.
It's just ridiculous. One of my favorite jokes of yours.
Let's hear it.
The chapstick joke. It's so fucking brilliant. Yeah. That is a brilliant joke.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you have a new album out. It's called Baby Skeletons.
Baby Skeleton, yes.
And how is that doing? And tell us a little bit about that.
So I taped it in 2018 and I used it to try and get like a special. And then I was going to tape a special. I was going to tape a special last year.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. I know. And then I was like, I guess I'll put this out to try and make some money so I'm not homeless.
Right.
And
then you realize you don't get any money for a really long time. Yeah.
Right. I have no idea how it's done. You know, I've gotten some positive reaction from it, but I don't know. I don't think anything really happens. Do you know what I mean? Like, and people are like, how is it doing? I'm like, I guess good.
Right.
It's not like I've gotten a letter from anyone in the business. And it's like, you've reached the standard.
I know, but no one's doing anything. Like literally everyone. Yeah. There is no business. And you know what? Who the fuck knows what the business is going to be after this is all over?
It would be great if the business was eradicated and you could just put your shit on YouTube like you can.
Right.
And just blow up from that. Like right. Andrew Schultz is pretty much proof of that. Netflix right. didn't want his special. I don't think he's Jewish. I think he's German.
Fuck that shit. Okay.
But maybe he is. I don't know. But they didn't want his special. I don't right. think he is. They didn't want his special. He has gone on stuff trashing them. And then right. he releases his own special on YouTube. And, you know, he has a pretty good following. He's on like right. Charlamagne's show.
Right.
And like he goes and builds like this viral audience. And then Netflix came to him.
Right.
So it's like,
they
don't give a shit.
Right.
So, and it's because he has over, you know, a huge follow. He has like over a million followers and he's very funny and talented. And you're like,
right.
These people don't even care what you're saying about them. Do you right. know what I mean? Like if they can make money off of you, they will.
By the way, he was the most watched comedian for 2018 and 2019 on YouTube.
That's great. He's probably making a killing off YouTube.
Right. See, I don't have the patience for that shit. You know what
I mean?
Why
don't you have someone doing it for you?
I have someone, but I don't know. I mean, I have someone doing my social. I just can't. And
I get it.
I don't want to put on fucking make. I don't know. I'm such a purist. I really do love the live audience and.
Just take some of your older stuff and put it back out on YouTube and stuff. That's what you don't really even have to produce new stuff. I mean, you can, but.
I have to get it. What if they own it, like Comedy Central and all that shit? Can you still get it?
I think so.
All right.
I don't know. I don't think I've done nothing really on Comedy Central, but your manager can probably get it for you.
Oh, because they really work hard. And so,
well,
and my HBO, my old HBO. Yeah, that would be. I'm gonna do that. Thank you, Adrian.
Get your old HBO special. Right. Get someone to caption it. Put it on YouTube. Put it on all your social media. Right. Have people share it and stuff. And like, you can start making money off YouTube if you're not already. I mean, I'm not in a Well, I'm not either, but like, do you know Liz Neely?
Yes.
She's one of my closest friends. Hilarious. I love her. She's so, and like, she's another person where the industry has not been like that gracious to her. And she's built her own following, and right, she's got, you know, like 50 or 60,000 followers on Instagram, wow, and the same on TikTok. And she's kind of built her own thing, and she works really hard. And she's an example, yeah, of somebody that like, you can build your own audience, and it's, you can also really say fuck the industry.
Right. And you also have to just reinvent yourself and do the work. That's it. You're going to work for the rest of your life because you're, you are, because you didn't get handed something. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, no one likes me anymore. It's like the key to this business is when you get something that you're prepared. And when you are not like everyone else, you will have a longer career because, you know, character actors or different kinds of performers, as they age, for some reason, they get more work and their stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
I want everyone to follow you because you remind me a little bit of Margaret Smith. Did you ever
see I've been her? Told that before.
Yes. She was That's one funny. Of my, I used to open for her. I love that you do what you do and don't give a shit, and you have to keep not giving a shit because you're fucking funny. And I just, you know, like my book came out and you're just like the perfect example of it's not, the joke's not about you. And you can talk about anything as long as it's funny. And you're a very good craftsperson. You're like great. I love your stuff. That's fucking so nice. Love it.
Thank you so much. That made my whole week.
Oh, please.
But also, right, I think people need to realize you can talk about anything. And it's also doesn't mean you don't see the seriousness and the awfulness
right.
in it.
You're not right. So it's like,
I don't think people get that you can separate that.
Right. Cause they're programmed. Like, you know, I talk about it in my book, but I talk about, you know, if I'm doing a joke about the Holocaust, if you're doing a joke about a school shooting, you're not lessening the horror. You're not, you know, saying it wasn't awful. You're acknowledging that it happened. but you're looking at it. That's the thing. People are like, you're cheapening it. No, we're not. We're not cheapening it. We're talking about it. You know, like I get people who get mad at me about my Holocaust stuff. And I'm like, I get on stage every night and talk about the Holocaust. So
you can talk about whatever you want. Yeah, it's like, so you're entitled to not like something too.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like I respect anyone's right to not like me as a comic.
Right.
That's totally cool. But when people try and cancel you,
yeah,
for jokes they don't like, and it's like, well, what else do you talk about? Your own trauma, and it's like,
right,
yeah, man, I had a childhood where that's how I dealt with life, through humor. Right. You know what I mean? And that's how most comics.
Adrienne, if you have not read my book,
I'm
you have to read
it.
My book. You'll love it.
I'm going
it's to. So,
I don't read. I never read, but I'm going to read your book.
All right, or you can get the audio book, but it's my annoying voice. But it really is. This is what it's all about: cancel culture and comedy and First Amendment
it's
rights.
It's so frustrating. Everyone wants to cancel me.
You have to read it, then, please.
I'm going to.
All right.
And I want you to know, I wanted to read it. I'm just lazy.
That's fine. And brutally honest, which I love. Okay, so before we go, I ask my guests questions.
Uh-oh.
Number one.
Oh, how many people have I fucked? No, I'm kidding.
Hey, now. have you ever had a lesbian? No. We're very pro mental health. I suffer from it. You know, we already talked about this. So what do you do for your mental health, for your depression, for your, like, how do you take care of your mental health?
Sometimes I'm better with it than other times. Mm-hmm. Getting out of the house. If I'm in the house too long, I start going fucking berserk.
Yeah.
And then I break up with my boyfriend and tell him and the new puppy have to leave.
Right.
And he's just like, all right, let's dial it down. Like, what's going on? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I love it. What does he do?
He works in what's he do right now? He works in like a factory.
Normal. He's normal.
He's a normal person. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a normal guy.
That's so funny that he gets you like that. Okay. Yeah.
And then last night I was like, I'm going to get rid of this puppy, 'cause it's just like too much work. And then this is what my night was last night. I'm driving to the, laundromat. And I was like, I can't get rid of this puppy. I love her. And then I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize like my biological father just gave me away so easily. And I can't even give this puppy away. And I was like, I was in a spiral by myself at 6 a.m. at the laundromat by myself. That's what I was doing this morning.
That is, I love, you have to write a bit about that, that you can't
I'm
give your puppy
to.
Away.
And I know. Father, yeah, I should call him up and hilarious. Ask him how he did it.
Right. That is fucking great. That's such a great bit. Oh my God. I love it. Okay.
But I was so upset. I realized that. I was like, oh my God, like I've never dealt with any of that stuff. So yes, talking to friends, I have friends that are very good. I could call anytime.
Therapy,
getting outside the house, walking, hiking, just like honestly getting off my phone. My phone leads me into deeper depression.
Same.
Yeah.
The final question, you know, the podcast is called Kill Me Now, because as you know, I get pissed off about every fucking thing to, you know, the nth degree. So what pisses you, what makes you fucking crazy angry? It could be anything that just fucking gets you, like
driving. I have terrible road rage.
Give me specific, because I think Elisa has. I have road rage too, where I'm like, I get to the point, like if someone, all right, this is so unreal, like it's too much. But like when you drive on Cape Cod, right? There's one part of the road that it's just one lane, and there'll be a fucking slow person, right? Who I go in my head. And I'm like it becomes, you're fucking up my life. You are fucking up what I want to do in my life. Right? You know, like, and I, it's so ridiculous. It's just like someone just drives slow and I take it into this fucking level of you ruined my day.
It's a personal attack on your life.
Yes.
They personally set out to ruin your day.
Yes.
I remember when I was driving a lot, I would seriously drive and fake shoot people. Like everyone would just be fucking dead. I'd be like, you're dead. That's what I would do.
Did anyone ever see you?
I don't know. Probably not. Oh. But like that's what I would do. I'd be like, you're useless. You shouldn't be here. I have the worst road rage.
Do you scream in the car? Do you cry? Like I am like, you fucking fuck, you know?
Sometimes I'll get upset, but mostly, I think if I had a gun in New York City and drove, I would shoot everyone.
Right, right.
I think most people would. It's just you almost leave your body and become another person.
It's true. I don't know what the fuck that is. And, you know, New Jersey.
We're all rushing to get nowhere, like to go home.
Right.
Like, it's just like, you want to get there as quick as you can. And road rage is probably my number one thing. That and like the cancel culture.
Oh, I can't with that shit. It's like, you know what? If you don't like a fucking joke, then
not listen to it.
Yeah. Turn the channel. Like, shut the fuck. It's not about you. It's awful. I love that you have road rage. I
the most.
Yeah, it's bad. Mine gets really bad too. It's like, and there are people like, do you have friends that are like, well, don't get, you know, it's not a big deal. And like, sometimes I'm in a cab and the guy is like really calm, you know, like some fucking
asshole. It makes you nuts.
And they're like, why get upset about something like that? You know, it's a big deal. So it's a bad. And
I think I'm it like, depends where I'm at in my life. If I'm in a good place, I could be kind of like that. But if I'm in a pandemic and have to be a barista, I'm just like, I also, mad at the world.
If I see a bumper sticker I don't like Trump Pence or NRA or something, like I then have a mission to like go up next to them and be like, you fucking, I mean, like, and they don't even look at me. It's like, but I get this whole like, you fucking piece of shit, you know, it's bad.
And you probably also just like develop a whole story for them.
Yeah. Oh, please. It's beyond. It's not fun living in this head, but I have no other choice. But Adrian, I can't thank you enough. You're fucking hilarious. Do not quit ever.
I'm not going to quit.
And
but I'm going to call you when I want to.
You please. You don't know how many fucking people I talk out of the, you know, talk off the ledge. And also we have to work together because you're perfect to work with me because you're so fucking funny and smart.
I would love to.
Let's do
it. I wish we could do a show with all women that wasn't a women's show. It's always branded as a women's show. And you're like, can't we just be funny?
Also in my book. Also in my book.
You sold also me. I'm going to read book, it. It is going to be the only book I've read this whole pandemic.
But you'll love it because you'll love it. And there's
I'm
so
get
much
on my phone.
There's so much history of how we got to like a lot of stand up, a lot of history of censorship and stand up and stuff. You really learn a lot about how we got to this fucking place. But
let me ask you one question. Do you think we are going to get to the place where it's going to get worse? I thought the pandemic, it would get better because people would see the seriousness of like death and all this stuff and loosen up. And I think it got worse.
I agree with you.
And I thought it was going to get better and it got worse.
Right. It definitely got worse. And it's also this fight of like, who owns free speech now? Like the right wing haters or the left, you know, like that's also in the book. It's the left and the right, you know,
the extreme.
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, fuckface, orange fuckface, his speech incites violence, you know? And we're just trying to fucking make you laugh, you fucking asshole. You know, it's
I'm going to read it.
Oh, I love you. All right.
I am. I'm going to order it when I get off the phone.
Okay. You're the best. Ladies and gentlemen, where can everyone follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Adrian Appalucci.
Appalucci. Okay. Yes. Not AIA. Okay.
Yes. But if you spell it wrong, Twitter, I mean, Google's pretty good about being like, did you mean this lady?
Right.
I don't know. Listen to Baby Skeletons, The Degenerate season 2. I was the last episode. You know, it's so funny when I was upset about my dumb situation with my dad and stuff last night, I got a message on Instagram from some guy who had just watched The Degenerates and loved it.
Yeah.
It was like see? That little bit of karma that I needed. Yeah. So I don't know. There's something out there. I don't know what it is, but there is something.
Yeah.
Vag Podcast. Listen to that.
VADGE, everyone.
Yeah, not VAG, which a lot of people think.
Those are idiots. Thank you so much for listening to part 2 of Kill Me Now with Adrian Appalucci. How fucking hilarious is she? Huh? Now, Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, and this podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. Nor would my life be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. Anyway, if you like the show, subscribe, please. Leave a review, please. Please, 5 stars, please. Then I get more listeners.
and then people like me more, and it's all about me, 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 me. Speaking of me, if you haven't purchased my book, yes, I can say that, When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. Seriously, like, I don't even know what to say at this point, okay? It's an awesome book. If you love stand-up, if you love me, how can you not? Read the book. I mean, look, there's nothing going on right now anyway. There's a pandemic. So that's it. Also, on March 13th, I will be performing live on a stage at the Fairfield Theater in Fairfield, Connecticut. They're only allowing 100 tickets, so get your asses there, buy your tickets, and then some of it's going to be live streamed. I mean, all of it's going to be live streamed, but I don't know how many tickets they're selling for that. But anyway, please, if you want to laugh, March 13th. And if you live in Connecticut, and if you don't, just drive there. You have nothing to do. Anyway, that's all I have to say right now. It means so much to me. If you check everything out at my website, judygold.com, JUDYGOLD.com, or you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I will, you know, you'll hear what I have to say, what I'm thinking, and what I'm doing. What more can you need for your life? So everything's at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. You know, like Jew, because I'm a Jew. Jew. Keep wearing your masks. Everyone, I hope everyone gets a vaccine soon and we're done with this fucking shit. And stay safe. I love you all. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.